Okay, we're on. Shalom to everybody, and a Gemar Chatima Tova. And we learned last time in Rav Kook's Orot HaTshuvah that Teshuvah is not a small topic, something to talk about between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it is one of the basics of understanding the world. We learned that the world was created through an evolution, and the world is based upon the idea of constant improvement. And if the most natural thing in the world is to improve, so I should also improve and go with the tide. And when I change to improve, I'm not swimming against the tide. I'm not going against nature, but adarabah, I'm davka going with the tide. What we're going to see today is another aspect. It is from Orot HaTshuvah, Perek Yud Bet, Piska Hei. It's called Hashpa'at HaTshuvah al Malachei Aruach HaChayim VaMaaseh Bichlau. The influence of tshuva regarding life and actions. In other words, again, tshuva is a big thing that, as we saw last week, Rav Kook says, encompasses most of Torah, encompasses most of life. And here we're going to see another aspect of that, that the whole way you look at the world depends on whether you believe in teshuvah or not. B'sha'ah she'adam, we're in source number one. B'sha'ah she'adam chote. When a person makes mistakes, or it's more commonly translated as sins, hu be'alma de piruda, he has separated himself into a world of division. He has separated himself from the world. Ve'az kol prat uprat omid bifnei atzmo. And in this world of division, every individual person, every individual drive, every topic stands in unto itself. Ve'ara hu ra bifnei atzmo. And evil is legitimized. It really is bad. Ve'yesh lo erech ra umazik. And it has a terrible, damaging ramifications. Maybe we'll read quickly through the paragraph, and then we'll explain it more elaborately. Ukshushav mi'ava, and when a person returns to Hashem, returns to himself, returns to his goodness, out of love, out of ideals, miyad mitnotzetz alav or havaya shel alma di Yehuda, he then hooks up, is connected with the world of harmony. Now, these two terms, these are terms that we're going to discuss, are found in the Zohar, where the Kabbalah talks about there are two ways of looking at the world of division and the world of harmony, unity. She'akol mitargen bo lechativa achat, a person who sees the world in harmony sees everything working together. Ubikashura klali en shumra klal. And in this context of harmony, there is no evil in the world. Ki ara mitztaref el hatov letavlo. Because even that which at first glance seems to be evil, it really is a spice to spice up the good. Just like if you eat a lot of hot pepper or a lot of garlic, it tastes terrible. But if you use it sparingly as a spice, then it adds to the world. Ularim od yoter et yikrat erko. And this evil, we'll see what Rav Kook is referring to, actually adds value to improve the world. V'chazen asim azdonot lizchuyot mamash. And here Rav Kook refers to the Gemara in Masechet Yoma that tells us that when a person does tshuva, even his negative actions, not only are they erased, but they're turned into positive actions. How does this work? So again, let's start from the beginning. B'sha'a she'adam chote hu ba'alma de piruda. The world, if you look in the first chapter of Sefer Bereishit, one of the key concepts and verbs that repeats itself over and over in terms of creation is vayavdel. And God separated. He separated the heaven from the earth. He separated this water from that water. He separated the continents. And also, pru-ur-vu, multiply, be fruitful. And if the world before creation was all one unity, God, as soon as God created the three-dimensional world, all of a sudden we have this concept of hiding his unity. His unity is not apparent. Because in a three-dimensional world, everything is divided. North America begins here and ends here. I begin here and end here. Everything has its own essence. Everything has its own legitimization. And that is hides God. Because God is the unity. It's the harmonizing factor of the world. So when a person sins and he becomes self-centered, and instead of sharing with the other guy, right, that's half the Torah is mitzvot ben adam l'chavero, helping your friend, instead of sharing, he becomes self-centered. He might even steal. He might cut people down. He thinks of his physical pleasure rather than seeing himself as part of a nation, as part of a community. And this divisiveness is the exact opposite of Torat Hashem Tmima. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Torat Hashem Tmima Meshivat Nafesh. And Chazal say that when is the Torah reviving? When she is Tmima, when she is complete. The Torah is a package deal, which, like a trainer, Lahavdil, when a trainer, remember there was a famous horse, Secretariat, who won just about every race that he ever raced in. And he was worth tens of millions of dollars. And he had the best trainer in the world who figured out how much sleep is good for the horse, how much sleep is too much, how much is too little, how much carbohydrates is good, how much too much, too little, how much protein, how much running, how little running, too much, too little. Everything is thought out. And when everything is thought out and seen in a holistic way, then you get the best of everything. Now, this is, let's look together in Source 2. And this is a pasuk that Rav Kook also mentions in Orot Tshuva from Yeshayahu Perek Nun Ted Pasuk Bet. Ki im avonotechem hayu mavdilim beneichem levein Eloheichem. Our sins separate, they divide us between us and God. And just like the world is based on division and multiplying more and more, and zorea zera leminehu, and making more seeds and more fruit and more seeds and more trees and more different types. And apparently the physical world is hiding God, is hiding the unity of God, which was before he created the world. Not only that, and this is the punchline when we're in our context, when a person sins, his sins divide between himself and God. Why? Well, we've spoken about that the real me is not my body, right? If the real me was my body, and I'd lose my hair, I'd less me, right? Or if I donate my kidney to somebody, so he is me and I'm him. We are not our body, we are our soul. And a soul is chelek Elokam mima'al, it is a spark of God. So the real me is my godly self. And interesting, we say in davening in several different places that all of creation does the will of God. Smechim betzeitam v'sasim bevuam osim be'ema ritzon konam. Or in Kiddush Levana, smechim la'asot ritzon. All of creation is happy to do the will of God. The rocks, we spoke about this last time, they don't have free will. The trees, right? A apple tree cannot all of a sudden decide he wants to grow olives, or vice versa. Animals do not have free will, and angels don't have free will. The only ones who have free will are God and us. That God willed to give us free will. So if I were to draw the world as a square, 99.9% of the world does exactly how God programmed them. They don't have free will. Everything is functioning exactly how God programmed. Everything except for that last small square, that 0.1% of creation, which is mankind. And we have free will. So when we act godly, again, like we spoke about, what does God do on Shabbat? He rests. So too, if I am my soul, the most natural thing for me is to rest. And as soon as God created the world, he told man, Pru Urvu, you have children, you create worlds, because you are meant to be godly. So when man follows the 613 commandments, which are God's handbook to teach us how to be godly, we finish off that last square of creation because we also are doing the will of God. We also are godly. We are harmonizing together with the trees and the rocks and the dogs and everything. And that is the tragedy when a person sins and he cuts himself off of the world of harmony by not acting godly. That's a tragedy. And what Rav Kook is telling us is join the universe. Join the universe. And just like everyone is doing what God commanded and programmed them to do, we also, through our free will, can and should choose also to be godly, thus uniting with the rest of the world and revealing the godly unity in the world of division. Again, the world is constructed like a orchestra with a lot of different instruments. And every instrument plays a different sound and plays different notes. Now, if everybody just plays whatever they feel like, it's going to be a total balagan. But if you have a conductor, a Leonard Bernstein, who writes everyone's notes exactly what they should be doing at which time, and he harmonizes everything together, then davka, the fact that you have also trombones and also clarinets and also pianos and violins and all of those different instruments, the difference is not a debit, but it is positive. It's not something negative, which is would just be a balagan, but when everything is arranged and harmonized in unity, then it is godly. The Malbim says something similar, by the way, again, just like Yeshayahu says that our sins separate between us and God. Everything is God, but when I divide myself and I'm self-centered and just think about myself, I am putting up a division between myself and God and between myself and nature, because everything else is doing exactly how God programmed it, and just I'm different. The Malbim writes on the Pasuk, Ve'avta l'reacha kamocha ani Hashem. Love your neighbor as yourself, I am God. Now, what does loving your neighbor as yourself have to do with I am God? So the Malbim, maybe I should have brought the source, the Malbim explains beautifully that every Jew has the same neshama. We all are part of Knesset Yisrael. Everybody has a Jewish neshama, a Jewish soul. The only thing that separates us is that my body separates my godly spark from his godly spark. His body separates it from her godly spark. Our physical bodies are separating us from each other and from our godly selves. In other words, when a person rises above his self-centeredness, his physical drives, that person is uniting with his fellow Jew. He's uniting with nature. He's uniting with God. He's uniting with everything. And that is part of the idea. This idea that Rav Kook is saying, that somebody who sees the world as a world of division and chaos legitimizes the evil, and he's not going to have an enjoyable life. Let's see the Rambam in source number 3. The Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, In Chelek Gimel, Perek Yud Bet, that's 3:12, he writes about how a lot of people complain about how the world is bad. We'll talk pretty soon about Arthur Schopenhauer, who is the made an ideology out of being a pessimist. The Rambam says, Rabot ala b'dimayona amon, many masses have this idea, ki ra'ot ba'olam yoter min ha'tovot, that the world is bad, and there's more bad than good. Now this obviously is a problem for anybody who believes in God, a one perfect, good, monotheistic God. But somebody who's pessimistic, he says the world is bad. He says a lot of poets bring this concept of how the world is negative and pessimistic and bad. And they say, well, it's actually a coincidence or a miracle that sometimes things work out, because the world never works out. The world is a bad place. And very often, all we see is bad. V'sibat kol ha'ta'ut hazo, explains the Rambam, we who believe in monotheism, who believe that God is good and created a good world, and that people are innately, inherently good, and we believe in good, and we believe in peace, and where does this mistake come from? Because these fools, they measure the world by themselves, subjectively. This goes wrong, that goes wrong, Murphy's Law, everything goes wrong. Says foolish people, there's like an immature child, right? Children, they're very self-centered, and God created us that way, so that we would take care of ourselves, right? In anili mili, we have to take care of ourselves. And usually children are so centered. You all know the classic scenario where the kid comes out of the bathtub and closes his eyes and walks around naked thinking nobody can see him. Because if I don't see you, you can't see me. The child, psychologists say that a child, who is my father? My father is a big guy with a deep voice who picks me up when he comes home. And sometimes he plays checkers with me, and he tells me bedtime stories, and that's my father. A child has no concept, a little child, he doesn't know and he doesn't care what the father does between 8 in the morning until he comes home at 5 at night. As far as the child, the self-centered child, or the self-centered person who never matured, he's just looking at the world from his selfish point of view. And if you look at the world that way, of course you'll be pessimistic because things go wrong. Because every time he wins, I lose. Or almost every time he gets something, he wins the lottery, I don't win the lottery. And again, a childish person doesn't realize that the guy next to him is just as real as I am. I'm sorry, did somebody say something? Somebody's mic is on. Anyway, continues the Rabbah, V'chi'ilu en sham metziyut ki imhu bilvad, as if I'm the only person in the world. V'imiralo davar hefich ma sheratza, if something goes, if God does something, or a man, a neighbor, my boss, somebody does something that I don't like, hichlitu pasak hichol hamtziyut ra, he decides that that is bad, so most of the world is bad. Again, what the Rambam is saying is if you just look at the world from one small perspective, the world is bad. But that is not the huge unity, unified harmony that God created. Let's look together in source 7. We'll scroll down. I even remembered to scroll down. One of the classic piskaot in Musar Ravich, it also appears in Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Gimel, Amud Kuf Mem Zayin, 147, Source 7. Ha'adam tzarich lechalitz tamid mimizgerotav ha'pratiot. A person has to constantly make a conscious effort to break out of his self-centered framework. Hamimalotit kol mahuto. This self-centeredness usually preoccupies and fulfills most people's lives. Until the average person thinks, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do for a living? Everything is so self-centered. And Rav Kook says, Zem morideta adam lo'omek hakatnut. Where Rav Kook, as beautiful as usual, has a double meaning here. When a person is living a life of immaturity, katnut means small, like a small child, he's also living a life of smallness. Instead of being part of some ideological movement, a nation, an ideal, I'm sure nobody really here honestly cares what shirt I wore today, or what I ate for breakfast, or whether I ate breakfast, right? That doesn't concern you, and it doesn't really concern anybody. So if you think about it, a person whose life is just centered around their own decisions, he is living a life of smallness. He has not risen out of maturity. He hasn't matured to realize that he can have beautiful relationships with a spouse, with his parents, with children, with his surroundings. I'm sorry? Somebody is saying something? Okay. Better to ask at the end or to comment at the end. Please turn off your mics if you're talking to your spouse. And when do we see this? Obviously, when Chas V'Shalom, you go to a cemetery, you go to a funeral, you go to a Shiva house, and nobody talks about what shirt this guy wore or what he ate for breakfast. And what do we talk? We talk about his ma'asim tovim. We talk about his good deeds, because that is the meaning of life. That is a life of depth. But when a person sees himself as a small individual, as a self-centered person, he really is living a life of immaturity and smallness. And this guy is never going to be a happy camper, because things usually don't go your way. Sometimes you have to give and take, and sometimes it goes his way, and sometimes it goes his way, and sometimes... But if a person is happy when his neighbor is happy, or if you're happy when Am Yisrael is happy, then you are a klali person. Yesod rayonotav netunim. How should a person live? Lechlalot. To be part of something big. Lechlalut hakol. To be part of the harmony of creation. Lechlalut haolam. To be part of the world. Laadam. To be part of humanity. Lechlalut Yisrael. To be part of Am Yisrael. Lechol hayekum. To be part of the entire universe. And by the way, this is one of the reasons, one of many reasons, why Rav Kook is a Zionist. Because Rav Kook is telling us, let's look in source number 8. This is from Sefer Orot. Hatzimaon li bala kulo beruach Yisrael tzarichu litgaber. We have to strengthen our desire to be part of Israel, part of something big. Lachshov Yisraelit, lergish Yisraelit, lachyot chayim Yisraelim, lirot besimchat Yisrael. We should think Israeli. We should eat Israeli. We should feel Israeli. We should be happy every time a Jew, even if he's from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, even if he has nothing to do with me, I should be happy that a Jew won a Nobel Prize. Why? Because he's my brother. When we're part of something big, we're not living a life of smallness. That's part of the beauty of living in Israel, where it's not everyone is out for themselves. You're raised from a young age to give 3 years of your life in the army, if need be, to give your life for the army. The idea of altruism, the idea of giving, is that you are living in Alma de Ichuda, a world of harmony, of giving, and not just thinking about me, myself, and I, who begins here and ends here, that three-dimensional small being. Another aspect of this, let's look in source number 4, where Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, page 488, he writes about the different approaches to hope and hopelessness, Yeush. Arba she'ifot omdot beruach ha'adam. There are three approaches to mankind. Nishpa'ot miruach ha'olam b'machlokotav. And they are divided. We won't have time to discuss all four. Those of you who are learning with us already, about 8 years ago, we learned this piska. But what concerns us is the first camp. Ha'achat, the first way of looking at life, she'ifat hara ha'gmura, which sees the world as bad. Chefetz ha'shlatato b'chol erkei ha'chayim v'olam. Everything is run by physical strength, by violence. There's no morality. Mizeh yatzat kufa elilit. This is what paganism is about. What is paganism? It sees the world not as one God who created, but there's the God of beauty, and there's the God of strength, and there's the God of water, and there's the God of fire. And every God is divided from each other, and all the gods are always conflicting and fighting with each other. And that is how primitive man, the paganist, saw the world. The world is dog-eat-dog. Now Rav Kook goes on to say at the end of the paragraph, Bein agluyim benivulam, bein amechusim b'me'atea yofi achitzoni. There are modern people who sugarcoat their paganism, what Nietzsche called neo-paganism, new modern paganism. Nietzsche and Hitler, Yimach Shemo, who was a chassid of Nietzsche's, he believed that the world, like Darwin, is dog-eat-dog. The dogs eat the cats eat the mice, everyone's always fighting with each other. And when a male comes to the herd, he fights with the other male to be the male who gets all the females. And the world is a violent place. And this is the thinking of Arthur Schopenhauer, who is the father, the head of the school of the pessimists. Let's look down in source 5, where Rav Kook talks about Hidgalut ha-tov b'ashkafat ha-achdut, the revelation of good, living a life in a world of goodness, which is a result of the seeing the world in harmony. Shte ashkafot olam hen, ha-ashkafa me'achiret v'ashkafa mafredet. There are two ways of seeing the world. There is one which divides. Let's skip down to Schopenhauer in the third paragraph, at the bottom of the page. Ulumato shel hashkafel yonazu nimset hashkafa mafredet. Haroet amtziyut amufredet betor chazon amiti. Vazarut shel kol matzui amishneyu itofeset lamitata akara. Schopenhauer says, it's built into the world that there is always going to be war. Because just like the dogs are eating the dogs, and the dogs are eating the cats, and the cats are eating the mice, human beings are just another part of the animal world, and there is no hope for peace. There is no hope for unity. By the way, one of the things I always tell my students is whenever you hear the name of the head of a hashkafa, you should always Google, at least in Wikipedia or anywhere you can find, and see his biography. Because, for example, Schopenhauer had the worst life that anybody could imagine. And his father committed suicide when he was 12. Nobody ever loved him. His mother used to beat him. He used to hate all the women, or all the women hated him. And the only one who ever he exploited a cleaning lady that he had, got her pregnant, and then the baby died. And Bekitzor, this is a guy who has no friends and no happiness, and he makes an ideology of how the world is a bad place. What Rav Kook does is say, let's step take a step back. Because if, like an immature child, looks up close at a picture, all he sees is small pixels. And just like if you look up close to life, at any given occurrence, it seems like the world is hefker, as if there's chaos in the world. But a mature person knows that if you take a step back and you get a larger picture and you understand the before, you understand the after, you understand that all those millions of pixels that you look up close, excuse me for coming up too close, right? Anything that you look up too close is not beautiful. But if you take a step back, even if you take a bunch of ugly hairs and you arrange them beautifully and you comb them, then that is what's called tiferet, and that is beauty. And that is the optical illusion of the bad in the world. Getting back to the beginning of 5, Hashkafa Me'achedet, how does monotheism see the world as a world of harmony? We see that the evil is ta'ut hachush. It is an optical illusion because, yes, the dogs eat the cats and the cats eat the mice, but that's part of the orderly food chain. The world is not chaos. As a matter of fact, it's very orderly. And if man, in his small corner of free will, man can upset all of creation through his free will. But if you let the world function normally, the world is harmony. And again, what is Rav Kook saying? Also, listen to God's program. Listen to the Torah. Listen to your godly self. Be your godly self. And that is a life of harmony, where there is hope for peace. Monotheism believes in Mashiach. We believe in Geula. We believe that there is hope for the world. Why? Because we're not animals. Because it's not dog eat dog in the human race. Mankind has matured to a way that we, to a place that we know that economic cooperation is good for everybody. And working on the corona together is good for everybody. And working on anything together, cooperation, is good. That is a mature way that mankind has matured. And let us look at another very important piska on this idea. Let's look together in source 10. Rav Kook writes...
It seems we have about a minute left.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that. Okay. So I'll give the quick mashal that I mentioned once, of light. Light is when you see all of the different colors in the prism harmonized together. If you take those same colors, those same crayons, and you just cover one onto the other, you get chaos. And that is a world of division. Those same crayons can create blackness or darkness, or they can create unity. And that is the beauty of harmony of music, where you take three different notes, A, C, E, Davka, because they're different, they harmonize and show the unity of the world. To summarize, what Rav Kook is saying is that tshuva is to return to be part of the world, part of harmony. And just like everyone is doing what God says, you too do what God says, be your godly self, choose to be godly, and that way the world will be a better place.